This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
With me today is Leonard Matarese. He is the Director of Research and Project Development for ICMA's Center on Public Safety Management. Thank you for joining us today. We have heard so much about the economic condition facing our local governments and local law enforcement agencies, and some people say this is a temporary situation. Some say, no, this is the wave of the future. What do you think about that?
Well, I think based upon what we've seen inside of ICMA, the International City County Management Association, working with our members throughout the country, that this is a long-term problem. And I think my sense is this is the new normal, that we're not going back to where we were 4 or 5 years ago.
Obviously, that presents a lot of challenges. Are there also opportunities?
I think so. In fact, a lot of our members, city managers around the country, see this as a real opportunity to really finally take a serious look at restructuring and identify what best practices are, and forcing people to try alternative strategies rather than just doing less with the less. Rather than that, coming up with some alternative ways and looking at new models.
How are local governments meeting this challenge of reduced budgets?
Well, the obvious thing is that there's significant cuts, and that turns out to be oftentimes layoffs. There's a significant reduction in force occurring in a lot of cities around the country. In some cases, the cities that are hardest hit are actually eliminating a lot of programs that they had previously utilized to improve the livability of the community. So things like libraries and parks and museums are being closed or hours being reduced. So we're starting to see some real significant outcomes from these reductions in force, that it's not just one or two people being eliminated from the payroll, but significant numbers, and that's having an impact on what the service levels are to the public.
How can local governments work more closely with law enforcement to address some of these issues?
Well, it's absolutely critical, because law enforcement and public safety generally comprise the largest portion of a municipal budget. In some cities that we're working with, up to 75% of the operating budget of the municipality is spent on police, fire, and EMS. And it's a lot like the Willie Sutton quote, why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is. Well, the money in local government is in police, fire, and EMS. And so there has to be a real partnership between the law enforcement leadership, the fire department leadership, and municipal government leadership to identify alternative strategies to provide comparable levels of service with less.
What are some of the alternative strategies you're hearing about?
Well, we're seeing a lot of interest in reevaluating the kinds of things that police and fire departments do. A lot of departments, both police and fire, have expanded their mission beyond the core mission. And so there's, in a lot of cases, a pullback to what the core mission is, and shedding some of the other things that they have been doing that are expensive and may not be part of what that central mission is. There's a lot of discussion about consolidation. There's a lot of discussion about shared services, contracting for services, and really just kind of understanding that there may be other models out there to take a look at, not just in the United States, but in other countries.
What about the concept of community government? Is that something we should be talking more about?
You mean about some kind of regional government approach? Yeah. We have an enormous number of local governments in the United States. We have over 17,000 police departments. When you compare that to other industrialized countries, the number is wild. United Kingdom, the entire United Kingdom has 54 police departments. Canada has about 170 police departments. And so my sense is that there's significant opportunity to not only reduce costs, but improve operations by some type of consolidation. But that may also mean consolidation of governments, not just municipal police departments or municipal fire departments. It may mean talking about regional governments. We've seen that happen in some places like Indianapolis and Charlotte-Mecklenburg. But there is also an ongoing continuous resistance to maintain local control. And the question is going to be, can we afford to maintain local control and still provide adequate levels of service?
It's a very emotional issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very.
When you say,
people
don't touch my police department.
Yeah, it's something, frankly, that I don't understand, because people who live in big cities have the same sense about their local police department that people who live in small cities do. And yet big city police departments in many cases are able to provide outstanding service and meet the needs of specific communities within the bigger organization. So I think our major city police departments are good examples that they're really a regional police department to begin with, and that can be a model for some of the smaller communities.
Can you give us an example, too, of a community that has had to make substantial budget changes but yet has continued to thrive?
The most impressive one that I worked with that I've seen personally is Grand Rapids, Michigan. They've gone through some serious budget cuts. They've had to reduce staffing significantly across the board, not just in public safety services. And yet they've been able to maintain high levels of service because of the quality of leadership, both at the elected levels, at the city manager's level, and at the mayor's level, and the department head's level. They've all worked together to try to identify alternative ways to deliver services. But what impresses me the most about Grand Rapids is they are not stopping there. They're in the process of a long-term analysis of city operations to understand what municipal government should look like for the 21st century. And they brought together leaders from the community, people from the private sector, elected officials, members of the various departments, and they've been successful and are successful in identifying some really interesting alternative strategies. So I would point to Grand Rapids, Michigan as a real model of what local government should be thinking about now.
So any closing suggestions? I'm a chief, I'm looking at my budget, I'm seeing the red ink. Where do I start?
Well, I think you have to get back to the model and say, is this the way we deliver these services? Is the way that we have been delivering these services for the past 100 years, because that's essentially, we are still running police departments the way we did 100 years ago, is this the model for the future? And I would suggest that it's not, both in terms of, we're still not using technology to the highest level that we possibly can. I don't think we still have the highest level of citizen involvement that we need to be able to make a real partnership with the community. I don't think that the police departments are doing some of the things that they should be doing to more effectively provide service levels. And then there are things that they are doing they probably should get out of that business. And it gets back to that, you know, starting from a blank sheet of paper and saying, you know, if we were creating this department today from scratch, how would we do it?
Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The COPS Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.